This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky, turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN, brought to you by
DoorDash.
That's
on
right.
TV.
Download the DoorDash app right now and start exploring some of the best New York has to offer.
DoorDash.
Get more from your neighborhood. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I don't like to slurp food. I like to chew it.
And good evening to Don.
Was she on drugs?
And good evening to myself.
Call 1-800-ALARM-ME right now. What are you waiting for? Okay? And get that inflation.
That was clearly a technical glitch.
Thank you. I don't just naturally go and get that Asian. I mean, come on.
Come on. Show some support. Some love.
Some respect.
Yeah, that's the word.
Thank you. Well, guys, let's talk NFL, shall we? Carson Wentz is on the move.
What?
Yeah. From the Indianapolis Colts to the Washington Commanders, who are an actual team in this league, in case you didn't know. Carson Wentz is the first quarterback to be traded in consecutive seasons since Sam Bradford.
Wow, that's a name from the past.
Yeah, like whatever happened to him.
The Commanders reportedly are sending a package of draft picks that are thought to be 2 third-rounders, according to Adam Schefter. Now, as far as Washington and how bad they need a quarterback, well, since Snyder purchased the team in 1999, their winning percentage puts them at 28th in the league. Points per game, 29th in the league. Starting quarterbacks, 25, third most in the league. Their last playoff win, 2005 wild card game. Carson Wentz.
That's a long time. You were very young then.
That was under Joe Gibbs, no?
That's Joe Gibbs 2.0.
Yeah.
So that's 17 years ago. You were just a pup. You were 24.
I actually remember it well. It was the playoff game they won. I went to my ex-wife's, then my girlfriend's house and watched with her family. And that was the day they knew that she was dating a psychopath. I was screaming. I was maniacal. I was crazed. I was a lunatic. Guess what else I was? A winner. Victorious in a playoff game.
Their assumption later proved perfectly correct.
Oh, yeah. Certainly that's true now. Highly doubt they are changing their mind at this point. So, as for Carson, interesting 2021. Weeks 1 through 3, his QBR rank in the first 3 weeks of the season was 25. Then, his QBR weeks 4 through 16, he was 3rd in QBR.
Really? Wow, I didn't know that stat.
And then,
holy crap,
in week 17 and 18, he was dead last.
And lost that game against Jacksonville.
Well, how about this, Michael? All Indy had to do was win one of the last two games. Mm. They lost both. So one thing I heard today from Eagles fans was, this is just not a guy who is clutch in the least bit. But our own Chris Canty says that Wentz is a short-term solution for Washington.
They believe that he's a guy that can win them football games in a down division. But I guess long-term, I'm not quite sure that this organization is sold on Carson Wentz being their guy. If you just look at the draft capital that they forked over to the Colts, that doesn't scream to me that they found their franchise quarterback. It feels like they found Mr. Right Now as opposed to Mr. Right.
That's exactly what it is.
Well, it's Mr. Right Now, but if he has a great year, it'll be for the next whatever.
I think all they're looking at is like kind of what Denver said. I think we're a really good team. We just need better quarterback play. And they had a quarterback that threw 20 touchdown passes and 15 interceptions last year in Taylor Heinicke. And as bad as Carson Wentz was at the end of the year and losing to Jacksonville and all that, he threw 27 touchdown passes and 7 interceptions. So they feel like, hey, maybe he can be even better. Try to catch lightning in a bottle. All it is 1 year, what, $30 million. All right, we go for it.
Oh,
and that's
you,
it.
Bear.
It is just a Band-Aid for the 2022 season in a conference and a division that's wide open.
That's how I feel about it, Don. I don't hate this. I know is it the sexiest thing, but no. After we saw Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers were no longer options, Derek Carr looks like he will not be an option. Michael just sent me a text message saying, "Who are you, Joan Embry?"
No. That was to Ryan Hurley who sent a picture of a deer in the woods.
Well, it works for both of us, though, doesn't it?
But why would you be Joan Embry?
Because bears barking in the background.
Oh.
Well, no, Joan Embry controls her animals.
That's a great point. Bear!
That would have to be lightning quick texting from Michael, though, if it was based off of the recent bark.
Well, no, I heard the first bark. It was sent right after that, but it had nothing to do with it. But thank you for reading it, Peter.
No, we'll just
now, the only thing that gives me pause about this, I don't mind it. I'm in the same boat as you. But the one guy that everybody thought could fix this guy was Frank Reich, and he couldn't do it. That's scary. Frank Reich was the Carson Wentz whisperer when he was in Philadelphia. And then he went out of his way to get him in Indy because he could make it work, and he couldn't make it work.
Well, but I guess I'm just confused. When we just read those stats, though, did it really not work for him at all, or did he just fail the last 2 weeks of the season when it mattered most?
Well, you answered your question.
Right. But, I mean, I do think there's a difference between he stinks, get rid of him, and he's not clutch. He didn't show up in the biggest spot.
Well, then, you know what? Then start Taylor Heinicke the first three games. Then have Wentz play 3 through 17.
Great point.
And then just have Heinicke finish it up to get those final wins.
Looking at 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, just over 3,500 yards passing. Again,
how many did you rush for?
Good. Rushing standby. I got to find it.
He doesn't run as much as he did before he hurt his knee.
Right.
He got a good arm. Really hardy red beard.
Let's see. Rushing. He rushed for 215 yards and a touchdown.
Well, you could do that, Don.
Yeah, that's nothing special.
I'm very difficult to bring down.
I know. We saw.
We've all heard that.
Don't turn it into a negative. It's a positive.
Everything is.
Now, looking at how he played down the stretch, talk about those two losses. The loss to Vegas and the loss to Jacksonville. Completely inexcusable, certainly the Jacksonville game. In those games, 148 yards passing against Vegas, a touchdown, no interceptions. Quarterback rating 86.7. In Jacksonville, he threw for 185 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Now, I know it's all about the quarterback, guys, but a lot of it has to fall on Indianapolis as well. I mean, you did allow 26 points to Jacksonville, the worst team in the league. So was the quarterback play good? No. Did he contribute immensely to those losses? Yes. But let's not make it out to be that other people were not responsible for what happened to Indy at the end of the season.
Yeah, I found that to be, you know, everyone was throwing the week 18 loss to Jacksonville all on Carson Wentz. And you're right, Don, I get it. The quarterback is a huge deal. But to the point you just made, he's not the entire deal. Jonathan Taylor had 77 yards. When that team played really well, Jonathan Taylor was rushing for 175 yards. So, you know, listen, he's Mr. Right now.
Right.
You wonder now whether Washington will still try to make a play to draft a quarterback with their first-round pick.
Right.
We will see.
But he is an enigma, right? Because you're talking about at Baltimore, threw for 402 yards and 2 touchdowns. All right? In a loss to Tampa Bay, 306 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, although he did throw a couple of picks. I mean, there's talent there. And you know, Michael, in every sport, there's a team going, I'll be able to fix him. I'm sure Ron Rivera's, we're going to figure this out. We're going to get the most out of him.
You know what you got to do? You know what you got to do?
Like, flush it.
You got to coach him up.
That's it. You can coach him up. And the point is that Taylor Heinicke, he is what he is. Not a bad quarterback, not a great quarterback. He is what he is. But Wentz, you know there's something there. If you can crack the code, there's enough evidence that this guy can play in an elite level. And that's what they're hoping they get.
This is my life, guys. I am now rooting for a team whose quarterback. Last year, the acquisition that was made was Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Which was ridiculous.
And I had had people telling me, hey, listen, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you could do worse. I was like, could I? Could I do worse?
Well, we don't know what would have happened. He got hurt in the first half of the first game.
And then now, he appeared shirtless in Buffalo during the playoffs.
And now, Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you could do worse.
You could do worse.
You could do way worse.
Sure. All right.
I think that's their new marketing slogan. Washington Commodores, you could do worse. Commanders.
The Washington Commanders, you could do worse. And by the way, isn't that how everybody felt about the name Washington Commanders?
Yeah. Yep.
It's fine. You could do worse.
It is the general feeling of the franchise.
It really is.
About in every way, shape, or form.
I mean, except for the stadium, you couldn't do worse.
No, the stadium, they got that wrong.
They nailed it. They're absolutely the worst.
Right, but
they're in first place.
I mean, when you have fecal matter on tap, that's not good.
It's not even that old. A bill was it 97?
Yeah, it was not poop water. Please,
what
okay?
was it?
It was regular water. It was
Are you
not
sure?
Yes, it was not doo-doo water like everyone was saying. That's not right.
Oh, so it was actually reported that way, but your sources say it was just regular water.
Well, it was reported by like people on Twitter saying it was fecal water.
No, dump today.
I'm sorry. I will always take the word of people on Twitter.
Let's go to something happy last night. I don't know if you guys saw the warm-ups for the Golden State Warriors.
No, I did not.
They were joined by a very special basketball player named Jackie Moon, a.k.a. Will Ferrell from the movie Semi-Pro. Here's Klay Thompson on Will Ferrell being a part of the team's warm-ups.
That was so much fun. That was some of the most fun I've had on the court this year, and I'm very appreciative that Will could come out and lighten the mood, especially after the losing streak we had. And not going to say he's responsible for the win tonight, but I think he was a huge catalyst for why we came out guns blazing. He's a legend.
Steve Kerr on how Will Ferrell came to be a part of the warm-up line.
He actually emailed me a while back, and I didn't believe it was him. So we exchanged a couple of emails and concocted the plan. And he's a huge Klay Thompson fan, and he knows how much Klay loves dressing up as Jackie Moon. And so it was just kind of a natural fit, and it felt like a good time to do it just to make everybody laugh in a tough stretch of the season.
I hope that Will is getting ready for a role because the hair is out of control.
Yeah.
He has eyebrows like the late what was the guy on 60 Minutes? Andy Rooney.
Andy Rooney.
I mean, what are you doing, Will? I hope it's for a role. The eyebrows are like it's almost bushy. Mm.
But we had Jeff Perlman on, and I guess Michael, you had mentioned that he wanted to be in
Jerry
Winning
Buss.
Time.
Yeah.
That would have been a huge mistake. And I'm a big Will Ferrell fan, but there are just certain actors that you just can't get over who it is.
But would you have thought that John C. Reilly could be this good?
Yeah, because John C. Reilly is one, honestly, he's probably one of the most underrated actors. He has tremendous range. And he isn't a big enough name, right, Peter, where you're like, all I see is John C. Reilly. I mean, think of the different roles he's been in. I mean, he is tremendous range. Well, listen, Will Ferrell is one of the funniest guys. I wouldn't say he's got range the way a John C. Reilly does.
But you didn't watch The Shrink Next Door.
Yeah, that's you'd never think it's Will Ferrell.
Lot of range there. And I got to tell you, Michael, I heard what you said earlier about how you couldn't picture it. I could see Will Ferrell doing the role also.
Well, a lot of it has to do with the makeup, too, the way they had John C. Reilly's hair.
I mean, right.
He looked like Jerry Buss.
I could see that them making it work for Will Ferrell.
Maybe I'm being unfair. I'm just a big John C. Reilly fan.
I understand what Perlman said. Yeah, you're going to see Will Ferrell. I mean, you have to get past the fact that's Will Ferrell acting like such a different person on the Shrink Next Door. You have to get past it.
Well, listen, I hear you, but at the same time, you have to get past the fact that this kid, Quincy Isaiah, is Magic Johnson. But you do. If they're good,
but he
they're
looks
good.
Like Magic Johnson.
But there's a certain I just think what I'm saying is there's a certain expectation when you see Will Ferrell to where maybe you end up being disappointed in the performance because, you know, it's Will Ferrell and he's not being Will Ferrell.
Well, he thought he'd be great because he broke up with Adam McKay. I mean, they were a prolific production.
But supposedly, not having seen it, so I don't know how John C. Reilly has done. And
what are you waiting for, Don? I'd like to know. What are you waiting for?
Well, I got a lot going on.
Not an hour? You can't really peel an hour away from Vancouver? Really?
I had the Rangers pre and post. I'm doing my first game back tomorrow against St. Louis. I've got two children.
How about tonight when they go to bed? How about that?
Well,
you are up very late normally.
Not really, not anymore. Post-COVID, Don's going to bed before midnight.
All right.
Trying to get back.
But don't you think, Peter, that this is a complete diss of the show? He knew we were having Perlman on. He couldn't peel an hour yesterday to watch the first episode did.
I don't know if it's a diss of the show. It's a diss of Perlman, certainly.
Come on.
No, true.
Well, I did the show right into Rangers Wild.
Right.
All right, that took me to 11.
Right.
I watched the news because that's what old people do. Went to bed at 11:30.
Watch the news. None of it's positive.
And then Nancy, you want to know what's going on. You got to know the weather. And then
you got an app? You don't have an app?
And then Nancy, she started, you know, she's watching The Great, and she's loving that.
So you watched that. But she wouldn't allow you to watch this show.
See, now you're getting somewhere, Mike.
That's what it is. You couldn't go to another TV.
How about this? You want to know the honest? It didn't even occur to me. Now, again, I'm a fan. I read the books. I read all of Jeff's books.
Yeah, but this isn't the book.
I understand that. It's a TV show. That's really not something that I'm overly interested in.
How could that be?
What do you mean, how can that be? I'm not a big basketball guy, and I live the Lakers, all right? I saw it. I was working it.
But it's
all right. Like, can I convince him, Peter?
Go ahead.
There is an incredible 16-year-old Don would have been in front. There's an incredible amount of upper frontal nudity.
See,
incredible.
That's cheap. You think I'm motivated by that?
Well, 16-year-old.
What year
Don
is
was?
It? Oh yeah, because you know, 16-year-old Don. Because 16-year-old Don was 1984. you had your one HBO and you dropped to your knees and you prayed.
That's
all right.
True.
My dad was not that kind of guy, so there was nothing I was going to find in his room. You found it where you can. The 16-year-old, so never forget about Don 16. It was 1984. 2022. Oh, dear. Good. 16-year-old Don all of a sudden in 2022?
Wow. I wouldn't even go the nudity route. I'm just saying, between you love John C. Reilly, whether basketball is your game or not, you're certainly an appreciator of great sports stories.
In all honesty,
it has a real sort of Boogie Nights, late 70s, early 80s, cool LA vibe.
Hey.
It's just awesome.
Hey, but listen, I'm not against it, and I'm a Perlman fan, and I want to see it. All right? But it didn't motivate me like we've got to talk about Bill Cosby, that I made an effort. So, but don't paint me as being some bad guy.
No, you're derelict to the show. That's what you're doing.
I contributed.
Yeah, but not as intently.
Oh, listen,
as
you
me
guys,
and Peter.
But you guys got like an awkward love affair with Jeff. So you guys had a couple.
See, now it's on
I couldn't even get a question in if I wanted.
Well, we
post COVID, Don's going to bed before midnight.
You didn't watch the show. Why
didn't
would
watch
we ask
it?
Why would you let you ask a question?
I can interview people.
By the way, Michael, the more you push him, the more indignant he's going to get. He's going to start hating the show.
I want to watch, but I don't have an au pair, Peter.
Okay.
All right? I don't have people doing things for me. I have to fend for myself most nights. All right?
What
and
time
I just
do your
don't
children
have
go
the time.
What time do your children go to sleep?
We've been trying to get them bed at 9:30.
9:30. That gives you a nice solid 3 hours before you go to bed.
Hell of a window.
And Nancy and I would like to, we don't get to spend very much time together. I was in the hospital for 5 days. I'm back to doing Ranger stuff. I got a game Saturday night now. I'm gone all next weekend. Doing Rangers. So when we get our moment together, you know, we'd like to watch something together.
Did you make out last night?
No.
Well, then you could have watched the show.
You sit and you just enjoy something together.
No, the only thing
we got a million little things tonight we're going to watch. That's our show on ABC, 10 o'clock.
That you're going to watch instead of Winning Time. A million little things. Okay.
Well, no, listen, let's be honest now. All right. The Jeff Perlman interview is over.
Right.
All right. So now it's just a matter of
two of your close friends are telling you you will love this. You
no,
will
I will
like
love
it.
I'm sure I'll love it. But it's about carving out the time.
Now, last night, Andrew's.
I don't have anybody sending me copies. You, Peter? Did you get a copy?
No.
Oh, I'm supposed to bend over backwards to promote this show. I didn't get a copy, but Mr. I got 8 copies in advance. All of a sudden, it's Mr. Winning Time. Meanwhile, me and Peter are sitting there just having to watch it like everybody else.
Rick DiPietro chimes in. Don's too busy crocheting that sweater he's wearing.
Wow. That's not right. It's not true.
I got Caps Oilers tonight. I got Canadians Canucks.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't Canadians Canucks a little redundant?
Well, in normal life, but in hockey, it's not.
Aren't the Canadians having a terrible year?
Awful year.
Then what are you doing? What are you doing?
What am I doing?
Life?
I don't know. What am I doing?
That would be like, I've got to watch the Texas Rangers tonight against Seattle. Really? Do I really have to?
Well, Chris Carlin would. Hey, last night, Andrew's beloved Syracuse, earlier today.
Thank you. Same mistake you made earlier.
I know. I'm
sorry. But you can see that, Peter. I got your back.
Thank you. Earlier today. Actually, you know what I should say? While I mention Andrew's beloved Syracuse Orangemen, let me just say this 98.7 ESPN Hoops Update is brought to you by Rutgers University. Choosing the right business school will put you on a career path to make a difference. Choose the number one public business school in the Northeast, Rutgers Business School. And if you're admitted, you get a free lunch with Chris Carlin. Made that last part up, but the rest of it was true. So, now back to Andrew's beloved Syracuse Orangemen. The Orange, a big victory. They were 2-point underdogs earlier against Florida State, and they went on to win by 39 points. Andrew told us he was stark naked walking around.
I was listening to the conversation.
We're all grown up now.
It never occurred to him to get naked.
Nah, it did.
Well, either way, his beloved Buddy Boeheim decided to assault another player in the middle of a game.
A little dramatic.
Here's his dad, Jim Boeheim, talking about Buddy's evil punch.
And I saw the play. The kid pushed him twice, and he swung around and hit him. And I think it was inadvertent, but that's okay. No, I don't think he hit. He just swung around, and it was contact. The kid pushed him twice. You can't just let people push you around.
Look at Dad. He's a dad.
Look at Dad.
That was unbelievable. Let's hear from LaPhonso Ellis on ESPN. His thoughts on the Buddy Boeheim punch.
It was not inadvertent. It was intentional. It's a flagrant 2, and it puts him in position to actually be suspended. Now, again, I've said this to you before, Seth. I got a chance to watch him in high school. He and my son Walter played together at Brewster Academy. I went to go see him every other. That's not his character. He's one of the greatest kids on the planet. But in that case, that was intentional.
Have you watched LaPhonso Ellis on ESPN?
I haven't.
He's really good. I watched him before the Duke game on set. He's really good.
When did LaPhonso Ellis pop up as a TV? Was he like doing local somewhere and got a gig at ESPN?
You know what? I'm not certain, but he's quite good.
I didn't know he'd been on ESPN for a little while. That's wild. I want Dale Ellis on TV.
Dale Ellis?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And Dale Davis.
Now I want Buddy. Doc Ellis.
And now Doc Ellis. Sure.
Wow.
And Hubert Davis, by the way, I'd like to see.
Hubert Davis, the coach of North Carolina.
And Jim Davis, the Garfield author. I'd like to see him as well.
But Buddy Boeheim hasn't reached the Grayson Allen level, has he?
No.
No, he's not a dirty player. That's why this is so stark.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, guys, with all the conversation around quarterbacks in the NFL today, there's been a lot of conversation around one Deshaun Watson. Yeah, it's about time to have that conversation. 8 women who filed criminal complaints of sexual misconduct against the Texans quarterback were subpoenaed to appear before a grand jury on Friday, according to their attorney, Tony Busby. Let's hear from Adam Schefter on Deshaun's status.
I believe the NFL will wind up, no matter the results of this case, disciplining Deshaun Watson next season, if and when he's allowed to play. I think he will be suspended for multiple games, and I still think that there will be multiple teams interested in trading for Deshaun Watson, depending on the results of what happens Friday and in the days after that to come.
Kimberly Martin on KJM earlier saying Watson's legal issues, not a big deal for teams.
Talking to coaches and scouts, execs, GMs, they were like, listen, a guy like that does not come available that often. He does not want to be in Houston. The legal situation, the league, coaches, they're not concerned the way I think the outside public is.
Why not?
Because, can I guess, Don? Because Deshaun's really good at football.
No, I get it.
And that's what they care about.
But and I'm not exactly expecting these coaches and general managers to all of a sudden get, you know, this moral high ground. The fact is, he's got, there'll be like a zero tolerance. The next offense, then you can lose your quarterback forever.
I have a little breaking news, no kidding. Jesse Daugherty, who covers baseball for the Washington Post, just tweeted that MLB just announced in an emailed statement that opening day is now postponed to April 14th. So the Yankees lose a three-game series with the Orioles. I lose a K-Rod broadcast on the 10th. And then they lose a four-game series at the stadium against Toronto. The next game to be canceled would be the 15th, and that would be the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier. So now, for the Yankees at least, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 games have been canceled in 2 weeks.
Wow. And that can't be made up.
I don't think so, unless they move the World Series to a neutral site and play it in mid-November, Game 7 at Thanksgiving.
Which might not be a bad idea.
Guys, we can get back to this. Let's end ENN on a happy note. It's time for your update of Stephen A. fighting with Chris Russo.
He was fighting with more than Stephen A. today, Chris.
Today it was a Packers conversation that led to major chair issues for Mad Dog.
Are you implying that Matt LaFleur was correct in taking the football out of his hands?
No, terrible.
On the fourth down?
Well, LaFleur's done an awful job. You and I have discussed this.
Okay, all right.
I mean, Lombardi's up there in his grave saying, how do we lose a game on special teams?
That's right.
LaFleur did an awful job, 100%.
I'm talking about last year.
But you are making it. Whoops, I'm a fool.
Let me help you.
I get on the chair. You're driving me crazy here that Rodgers, he doesn't deserve any blame.
What's the matter with that chair?
Give me that pad.
Oh, my God. You're telling me that Rodgers does not deserve any blame? That's ridiculous.
I didn't say he doesn't deserve any blame.
He was terrible.
I didn't say that.
You blamed it on LaFleur 5 seconds ago.
Excuse me. I wasn't talking about this. I said I was asking you about Tampa because you brought up the year before against Tampa in the NFC Championship.
Back-to-back years.
What I was asking was, were you a proponent of him taking the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hand on a fourth down?
No, it was terrible.
That's all I said.
And you know what's very underrated? Vince Lombardi up there in his grave. Is that what I got to look forward to, that I'm still in the ground in heaven?
Another thing that I noticed about this, Don, I'm sure you also thought this. You don't get Stephen A. to legitimately, like, guffaw.
No.
And he was, like, he was losing it. And I actually felt sorry for Molly. She's trying to help Chris. He ignored her. Give me the pad. And he wouldn't even look at her. He's screaming. It was high comedy. Every Wednesday, there's something that we talk about.
Really? I think every Wednesday he's been on.
It's been something. It's working out so far with Stephen A. and Chris Mad Dog Russo. That'll do it for ENN, brought to you by Hennessy. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail while watching the game. Try the Playmaker, maybe the Triple-Double. Both made with Hennessy VS. Go to Hennessy.com for drink recipes. Hennessy, spirit of the NBA. Always enjoy responsibly.
Let's tie it all together. We're talking Stephen A., right?
Yeah.
He's going to join us tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Oh, you don't know that.
Oh, no. I've been told. It's locked in.
Yeah.
Stephen A., 4 p.m. tomorrow. I'm excited about that. Anyway, we'll come back. We'll take some phone calls. We'll get ready for the big fella as well. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.